Sira Sisi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 17, text number 43, chapter entitled Description of the Varnashram System. Salocha vritya pari tushta chito. Dharman mahantam virajam jusana. Maya pitatma griha heva tishtan. Nati prashakta samupaitya santim. Silochan vidya paritushta chitto. Dharman mahantam virajam jusana. Mayarpitatma griha heva tishtan. Nati prashakta samupaitya santim. Silocha vritya paritushta chitto. Dharman mahantam virajam jusana. Maya pitatma griha eva tishtan. Naita prashakta samupaitya santim. Please chant. Srila Uchyan, of gleaning grains. Vidya, by the occupation. Parituṣṭa, fully satisfied. Chitta, whose consciousness. Dharmam, religious principles. Mahantam, magnanimous and hospitable. Virajam, purified of material desire. That's a good tattoo to get. Jusana, cultivating. Mayi, in me. Arpita, dedicated. Atma, whose mind. Grihe, at home. Eva, even. Tishtan, remaining. Na, not. Ati, very. Prashakta, attached. Samupaiti, achieves. Samtim, liberation. Translation. A Brahmana householder should remain satisfied in the mind by gleaning rejected grains from agricultural fields and marketplaces. Keeping himself free of personal desire, he should practice magnanimous religious principles with consciousness absorbed in me. In this way, a Brahmana may stay at home as a householder without very much attachment and thus achieve liberation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Mahantam refers to magnanimous religious principles such as very hospitably receiving guests, even those who are uninvited and unexpected. Anybody know the name of that guest, uninvited and unexpected?
Atiti.
Atiti, yes, yes. Householders must always be magnanimous and charitable to others, being alert to curb unnecessary affection and attachment in family life. In the past, very renowned Brahmana householders would collect grains that had fallen on the ground in the marketplace or those that had been left behind in the fields after harvesting. The most important item here is Maya Arpitatma, or fixing the mind in Lord Krishna. Despite his material situation, anyone who constantly meditates upon the Lord can become a liberated soul. As stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-187, Iha yasya hridayasya karmana manasa gira niki lavyapi vavashtashtukasari jivan mukta sa uchate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, and intelligence and words, is a liberated person. Even within the material world, although he may be engaged in so-called material activities. Om Gyana Tamaran Dasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Malitam Yinatasmai Svi Gurudeva Namaha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangumlam Jayati Girim Yakripatamaham Bande Svi Gurum Dinatarinam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasudha Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vancha Kalpaturibhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. This verse can be either encouraging or depressing, or both. We've been discussing in this section of this chapter about the activities of a Brahmana. Now we're discussing Brahmana householders. As I read this verse in purport, two things came to mind. I was discussing with Raghunath the other night after the homa we did for Lord Nityananda's appearance day. It mentions here that the householder should collect rejected grains from the agricultural fields in the marketplace, and by this they can sustain themselves. Or they can go to the home of myself after a jugga such as this, where you've got 150 oblations thrown by 150 people, and there's grains all over the floor of my house by the time I get home. It's something that happens. Raghunath and I were discussing this, that it doesn't matter, you know, you've got that many grains being thrown, there's so much excess grains. So householders can maintain themselves in these three varieties of ways. But regardless of how one gets their grains, one must be sure to share those grains. This is the proposal mentioned by Atiti. The guests who come knowingly or unknowingly. You know, this is the nature of the householder, that they would invite anyone to come and take. This, of course, in my younger days as a brahmachari in St. Louis, there was one householder couple that lived down, just two doors down from the temple. And the lady of the house was very attentive to this, and she would step outside on the back porch after she prepared prasadam for her husband, say, if there's anyone that would like to have something to eat, please, you can come now. Well, it didn't take long for the brahmacharis to figure this one out. And so her husband asked her, please go to the front porch and do this now instead of the back porch. There was never any prasadam left for them. But this is the duty of the householder, to share whatever they have, and very happily so. Now, the second thing I thought of when I read this verse, this mention here a little into the purport, most important point is maya apartita, atma, fixing the mind on Lord Krishna. Of course, anybody that's been around for any period of time and done any reading immediately thinks of the pastimes of Ambarish Maharaj, Savaimana Krishna Padarda Mindayo, how he fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, and then from that mind being fixed, he then went to the process of executing the different processes of devotional service with his bodily limbs and senses and all like that. By doing this, it allows a householder to not be attached. And this seems like an oxymoron, a dichotomy. How can a householder not be attached? The very means of being a householder means surrounded by wife, children, collectibles, comfortable scenario, some income, some savings. Generally, Brahmins, they don't have any savings. They just live from day to day, you know. So here we see all these things that are necessary for executing household life properly. But as this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is mentioned here, notes, that a person who acts in Krishna consciousness with their mind, body, intelligence, and word becomes liberated, because what they're executing in their activity is being done in the service to Krishna. This is the key factor. The service to Krishna is what frees us from that entanglement. Just as Prabhupada gives the example, a soldier may go into the battlefield and kill so many people. And when this killing is finished, he's awarded a medal. Very good job, heroic, you know, and he's put up at different types of national parades and all, and given all great praise. But when that person comes out of the battlefield, if they kill so much as one person, they're punished with death. So, same thing, but I'm killing people. No, but one is being done in a different scenario than the other. So, we can execute household life surrounded by the so-called trappings, but if we keep our consciousness affixed to the order of the spiritual master and the instruction of serving Krishna, this is how we save ourselves from that attachment. And even at that, it's quite a challenge, especially in our modern age with so many things just constantly struggling for our attention and distracting us. And so in this way, we see that there is an out. There is a manner for us to become more of an exemplary householder. Now, if we speak about exemplary householders, I was thought very much that who better to look at as exemplary householders than the parents of Narottam Das Thakur. Today being the appearance day of Narottam Das Thakur. Could you put up that first picture? This is the... here they are. Yeah, so there we go. This is the road into the village of Kateri, where Narottam Das Thakur made his appearance and where his mother and father, the Raj and Rani, resided. And his father, Krishnananda Dutt, was very, very wealthy. He was, aside from the fact he was the king of the area, and Narottam would be the Kumar prince, the young prince. Aside from that, he had very good means of income and was quite comfortable. But his entire focus of this was the service of others. He accepted this comfortable circumstance he was in, But he made very clear that this was only used in the service of other personalities. Particularly, he was fond of serving Vaishnavas. It mentions that at the time of Narottam's birth, actually even the presence of his wife becoming pregnant was by the mercy of Vaishnavas. They had received, mother and father had received a sadhu to the home and had served him very nicely, as they were known for doing. They had a great reputation for this, for serving Vaishnavas. And in this way, by serving the Vaishnavas, they requested, you know, we desire to have a child, and they got the blessings of that by this service. So when Narottam was born, it mentions that all of the residents of Khetri rushed to the palace with all types of gifts. Now, this is standard procedure. We saw this in the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Sita Thakurani, who lived just very close by. As we've mentioned, Advaitacharya was also quite well-to-do. He had two homes, actually had three homes. He had one home in Shantipur, and then one home very near Jagannath Mishra there in Navadvip. And so when all the residents came to bring gifts to the newborn child, you know, so many wonderful types of presentations were made. And Krishnananda managed somehow or another, in spite of dealing with the fact that his son was just born, and he received each person very nicely, very warmly, greeted them very comfortably, made sure that they were settled. And whenever anyone then left, he made sure that each person leaving was given some type of gift, some silk, some jewels, some gold coins, some type of grains like this. After the immediate impact of the birth of Narottam dwindled down and all the guests had left, he called forward his servants and his ministers, and he said, I want huge quantities of clothing, blankets, utensils, and prasadam distributed to all the people of Khetri, especially to the sadhus and to the brahmanas. Now, this is another way that the brahmanas, in reference to this verse, this is another way that the brahmanas would support themselves, was by the charity of those that they lived under the care of. So he instructed his servants, spare no expense. Whatever is in our storehouse, don't worry about that. If it's depleted, so be it. But everyone should feel very satisfied and very, very happy. And by this, then our son will get all the blessings of these people. So this was the understanding of how to be a proper householder. Satisfy the Vaishnavas, satisfy the sadhus, satisfy the brahmanas, and then they will give their blessings, and then household life will be very comfortable and very happy. So in this way, very much this is removed. Could you go to the next picture now? Let me just open this up. Yeah. This next picture is the house of Krishnananda Dutt, where it stood in its heyday. This is the birthplace of Narottam Das Thakur. And this next picture also, second shot of the same. This is the main entranceway there to the birthplace of Narottam Das Thakur. When, after some time, Raj Krishnananda and his brother, Purushottam, the family ruled Khetri together, so to speak, they understood the purpose of Khetri is to serve pilgrims. So they were sitting in the palace, surrounded by all the servants, discussing the matters of the affairs, and Krishnananda pointed out that soon the Jagannath Rath Yatra will take place in Puri. He said so many of the pilgrims will be coming on their way to Puri, and they will stop in Khetri. We know this was the habit of Shivananda Sen, that he would organize all of the devotees in Bengal for the purpose of going to Jagannath Puri for the annual Rath Yatra to see Lord Chaitanya, of course, while he was present there. And they would pass through all these different towns going, and when they would come to Khetri, it was the arrangement of Krishnananda and his brother Purushottam that they would be very, very nicely hosted. He pointed out that soon so many of these pilgrims would be coming, and it is our duty to receive them properly and make their comfortable their stay here in Khetri as comfortable as possible. So in order to do this, they built special accommodations. They would set up a huge kitchen because they would have hundreds and hundreds of Vaishnavas coming through, pilgrims. So they set up a huge kitchen, and made arrangements for distribution of prasadam to all of these different pilgrims. And not only that, but they set up like a tent city, you might say, different types of built accommodations for them to be able to stay in and be very comfortable. Oh, you're coming one day, 3 days, 5 days, whatever. However long you want to stay and are comfortable, fine, no problem, you're welcome here. So in this way, there was full accommodations, and it was known that when you pass through Khatri, Raj Krishnananda will take very good care of you. He and his brother Purushottam will give you all facilities. So to accomplish this, Krishnananda assigned different personalities. You know, you do this, you take care of the housing, you take care of getting all the greens, you take care of organizing the kitchen, you arrange for the cutting up of the vegetables, so on and so on like this. You know, he's a very effective manager and wonderful at figuring out how to receive guests and take care of them. Atiti, guests that are unexpected. How many guests are coming? Well, we don't know. It'll be in the hundreds. All right, just prepare for all of them. So this was the mood. So, you know, in the process of this, he pointed out some of the Vaishnavas have already arrived. Matter of fact, this evening, one of the Vaishnava sadhus will be giving a lecture at the temple. If you could go to the next scene, please. This is the main temple in Khatri. So one of the Vaishnava sadhus will be lecturing at the temple tonight. So everyone can leave and make preparations, and we'll all gather there again in the evening. So in the evening, they gathered in the courtyard outside the temple, waiting for the program to begin. And as the town folk were all gathered, Krishnananda and his wife Narayani, they entered with their little boy Narottam. And of course, everyone stood up, was very happy to receive the Raj and the Rani. But everyone's real attention turned to Raj Kumar, to little Naru, as they called him. Nauru was just everyone's favorite, you know, was so happy to see him. And, oh, here's our Rajkumar Narottam. Oh, just see how beautiful he is. Look at those wonderful lotus-like eyes. And see how long his arms are, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, noticing all these different things. Come, Nauru, come sit on your uncle's lap. No, come to Auntie. I have a nice present for you. So like this, they were all so happy to see him. And, you know, the ladies would come forward to play and tickle him and pinch his cheeks. And everyone was very affectionate with Narottam like this. And they were just completely captivated by him. So he was the focus of the entire village. So, but once the program began, if you go to the next slide, please, the Shalagram in the temple would be worshipped. And then the beginning of the program after the arti would go on, Krishnananda would take Narottam's hand. And he would go to the front of the lecture hall and sit down and sit, Narottam, now you sit quietly and respectfully and listen to all the instructions of the sadhu. This might be a nice little instruction for the concern some of our temples have with children and being, you know, a little disruptive. So bring them all, let them sit down and listen to the class. And Krishnananda Dutt instructs his son, he says, now sit quietly, Narottam, and listen respectfully to all the nice instructions from the sadhus. Even if you don't understand very much of what they say, simply by listening to it, you will be purified and receive their mercy. This is the mood of attending to the lectures of the Brahman. Even we don't understand so clearly what's being said, Prabhupada, how many of us in the early days understood? Some devotees, because of Prabhupada's Indian accent, could barely understand what he was saying. But simply by hearing Prabhupada repeatedly, our hearts became purified, and somehow or another we made some little bit of advancement. So this is the instruction that Krishnananda gets from his father. So very, very nice in this way. What's the next one here? Yeah, we'll wait for that one. So in due course of time, Narottam began his studies, and his mother and father, you might use the term nowadays, homeschooled him. But homeschooling wasn't done by the mother and father. Krishnananda Dutt arranged for all the finest of pundits and scholars to come, and they were all given a comfortable facility and arrangements, and they taught Narottam. He said, I don't want any anxiety for my son, but I want him to learn everything that is necessary for eventually taking over the kingdom. Here again, we see that Krishnananda Dutt was not overly attached. No, I'll be the ruler till death. He knew that eventually my son will take over. I will retire. There are other examples of this, which we won't go into so many details on it, but it was very clearly understood. So his father had arranged for a nice pavilion outside of the palace and in the courtyard there, and he arranged for this to be set up as a school for Narottam. Now, after the studies for that day, Narottam would go up to his room and climb up to the window and look out, and he would see all the pilgrims that were now returning from Jagannath Puri. And he would watch in great curiosity. They would all pile into the pavilion that his father had made, and each searching for a place to put down their kusa grass mat and their little bit of belongings and, you know, get rested. And, you know, then others would be bustling with the different activities of, you know, arranging for the stay for the day for family members and like that. And, you know, they would talk amongst themselves as scores of the servants of Krishnananda came around taking care of them. So coming and going, it wasn't, you already came here. We can't do this twice. No, Krishnananda arranged any time Vaishnavas were traveling through to take care of them. So Narottam could see that there's different fires in the kitchens were, you know, blazing, and cooks were stirring gigantic pots of khichdi and different types of meals to be served to all the visitors. So he'd look at the faces of each of the pilgrims, and suddenly he'd see these pilgrims, they look so happy, so effulgent. I want to understand the joy that these persons understand. What did they see in Jagannath Puri that gave them such happiness, that made them feel so content, that gave them such joy in their expressions? So this was the mood he was thinking in this way. So after some time of this practice of hearing from the different sadhus his father arranged to speak there, he developed an affection, an affinity for one old Brahmin named Krishnadas. And this Krishnadas was from just a village over, but because he was an elderly Brahmin, he was given free range to the palace, and he was always instructing Narottam about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And Narottam very eagerly soaked up not only Lord Chaitanya, but all of the Lord's associates. And so after some days of this, some period of time, Narottam mentioned to his father, he said, I want to dedicate my entire life to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want to give myself to him completely, mind, body, and words. Just as his purport in this verse is mentioning that this is the proper mood for the householder. Whatever their external activity is, mind, body, words, intelligence is engaged in the service of the Lord, and by that, they can develop renunciation even within the household ashram. So Narottam continues. He says, to me, this is the only real life. Everything else is just like death. These were not exactly the soothing words that his father was looking to hear. What Krishnananda said to Narottam, he said, my dear boy, he said, don't think it is so easy to be a sadhu. He said, it's a very, very austere life. And as we see from this verse, the householder maintains himself by taking grains from the field after they've gone out and done all the husking and all the agricultural workers have gone away. The household will go out and pick up whatever grains are left, or go to the marketplace at the end of the day selling. And to such an austere way to live. He says, Narottam, don't think you can do this so easily. You're a prince. You live a princely life. You could never live like that. Of course, it's a nice idea, you know, to leave everything and become a follower of Mahaprabhu. I would also like to join Mahaprabhu's mission. That would be very wonderful. But, Naru, we have responsibilities. The pilgrims will not be fed on their own when they come through Khichdi if we do not take responsibility for them. I mean, the point Krishnananda is making is very valid. But he doesn't understand clearly the heart of his son, Narottam. He says, you know, we have our duties to perform. So many Vaishnavas, they come to Khichdi for the patronage that we offer to them. They must be fed. They must be clothed. They must be protected. They must be given shelter. That is our duty. That is our service to the mission of Mahaprabhu. Completely true. And as a ordinary householder, many of us, this is the way we serve Mahaprabhu's mission. By facilitating those great devotees who are actively preaching all the time. By giving our service to Srila Prabhupada in this way. His father continued, who do you think will look after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees if we do not do it? Do you think if we neglect them, this will please Lord Chaitanya? You simply learn to stay at home and follow in my footsteps and take care of the pilgrims. You cannot become like this. Narottam thought in his mind, yes, you cannot, but I can, and I will. So anyway, In this way, we see that his father set a very, very nice example. But actually, could before you click to the next one, could you go to the one that's labeled 13? Slide number 13.
What is that?
That is an Ashringa Shila that is worshipped there. No, you can you just click on it instead of go through each of them? Should be listed underneath the numbers. Just go back to the original folder, and I've got them numbered nicely in that folder. Yeah, right there. Yeah, there you go. Number 13.
So the black one is Vishnu Shila?
Wonderful, there we go. I'm sorry?
The black one is Vishnu Shila?
Yes. So this spot right here, this is very important at this point in Narottam's life. This is the place called Premthali. When Narottam was a young boy and received his grain ceremony, I'm sorry, not his grain ceremony, his name-giving ceremony, and the astrologers did the birth chart, all the astrologers looked and they gave very clear indication, oh, this boy is a great personality. So many wonderful characteristics are there, and everyone was glorifying and praising in so many ways. There were several astrologers there looking at the charts, talking amongst themselves. One of them, however, was not looking so happy about what he had found. Well, Krishnananda turned to him and said, "You have found something?" "Yes, I should tell you." He said, "This is not very good for the boy." He said, "He should be very cautious of the rivers. It looks to be something not very good for him. So you should keep him away from the river." So, of course, this is no secret how the story goes, and we all know it. This is the priest Premthali. Prior to the arrival of Narottam Das Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur, and Vakreshwar Pandit were on Harinam. And they stopped just on the other side of the river from Khetri. And Lord Chaitanya called out the name of Narottam very loudly. And of course, the associates of Mahaprabhu looked at each other. "Who's Narottam? We don't know Narottam. There's no one here Narottam." Said, "No, no, in the future, when we have all departed, a great personality, Narottam, will appear, and he will carry on the Sankirtan mission. But I have to leave something for him." So Mahaprabhu entered into the Padmavati River. As he entered into the Padmavati River, the river began to churn in ecstasy, coming in touch with the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mother Padmavati herself manifested and came before the Lord with folded hands. "My dear Lord, what would you have me do?" Mahaprabhu manifested a golden hue and left that in the care of Mother Padmavati. He said, "This is prema, this is love of God." In due course of time, when Narottam comes to your banks and enters into your waters, you please deliver this to him. Mother Padmavati was very intelligent. She said, "My dear Lord, how will I know who is Narottam? So many people enter into my waters for bathing every day. Which one will be identified to me as Narottam?" He said, "When that personality enters your waters and you react as you have by me, becoming overflowing with love of God, then you will know that is Narottam." So now, fast forward to Narottam's youth. His father is always very, very cautious that he's not able to go outside to the river. As a matter of fact, one time, Krishnananda was looking outside his window from his private quarters, and he saw the boys and Narottam all playing just out in the courtyard together, and he said, they were just outside the wall, actually, just outside the wall to the palace, and he says, "Oh, boys, what are you all doing?" And the Naru yelled up, he said, "Oh, father, we're all going to the river to take our bath and swim in the waters of the river." Krishnananda became very fearful. He chastised him. He said, "No." And he immediately rushed out of his quarters down to the front gate, and he said, "You come back inside. You cannot go to the river. I've told you before, this is very dangerous for you." "But father, I just want to go take bath. He's just a little boy. How is it, you know, he's going to have any..." No, you cannot go. If you want, I will bring water. I will dig a kund right here inside the palace and bring the water for you there. And you can just bathe here. If you'll go, please, to picture number 6. Yeah, try to not go picture to picture if you can. Just go to the main file and then back. Yeah, thank you. Picture number six. This is the tree inside the courtyard next to the bathing ghat that Krishnananda Dutt arranged for his son so he wouldn't have to leave the palace walls, because he knew he goes to the river. I don't know what's going to happen, but the astrologers said the river is very bad for him. Well, now we understand clearly what is so bad about the river. It's going to change the course of his life. That comfortable Prince Rajkumar is going to have something happen. So in due course of time, Narottam became a young man, his teenage years. Mother and father noticed that he's not so much interested in, you know, the affairs of the kingdom. All he wants to do is study Shastra and do puja all day. This is, you know. The mother became a little worried. You know, he talks about always going off to Vrindavan, being a sadhu, you know. Father said, I know what we'll do. We'll arrange for him to get married. In the evening, Narottam was taking rest after he overheard his mother and father like this. He was just so distraught. If I have to hear one more day about managing kingdoms and getting married and taking care of affairs, I'm going to scream. All I want to do is leave and go to Vrindavan. Why won't you deliver me, Lord Chaitanya? So in this way, he took rest in this mood. And then, of course, we know that the Lord appeared to him and told him, you go to the banks of the Padmavati and all good fortune will come to you there. So he had to sneak out of the house, you know, out the window and couple of boxes stacked up in the window and go through the window and drop down and out. Got down to the river banks and offered his obeisances to the Padmavati River and entered into the water of the Padmavati. As he entered into the water of the Padmavati, Mother Padmavati herself began to just churn in waves of ecstasy, coming in touch with the body of Narottam Das Thakur, just Nauru at this point. And in this way, you know, very, very excited to. So she manifested in her form and delivered to Narottam this gift of prema. Thus the place is called Premtali. They built this little, that's the other building we were at, sorry. That's back to Premtali. That's back to 13, please. So at this site, this is the tree and the riverbank where Narottam entered into the waters of the Padmavati River and received this prema. Of course, from this point forward, his life was completely changed. He, you know, was a different personality. And we know in due course of time, did you find it yet? 13. Click there. Open that file, yeah. Just close this window down, yeah. And then open the, yeah, there. Number 13. Yeah, thank you. So this is the site where Narottam received that gift of prema, Premtali. So from here, Narottam eventually went to Vrindavan. We know the long story. We don't have time to go into all the details today, but he was initiated by Lokanath Goswami. And in due course of time, under the tutelage of Jiva Goswami, he returned to Bengal, to Khetri. Actually, this was under the provocation, if you will, of Janava Mata. She had written to Jiva Goswami that, you know, you've got all the Goswamis here in Vrindavan, they're publishing all these books, you know, you've got all the nectar there, come on, share the nectar. So the arrangement was made for scribes to copy all of the books of the Goswamis and put copies of these books into the trunk and with the different pilgrims, and Jiva Goswami arranged for his three most prominent disciples, the senior, Srinivasacharya, and then the two junior, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda. So the three of them returned to their different places. Of course, Srinivas to West Bengal, Narottam Das Thakur to East Bengal, and Shyamananda to Orissa. We all know the story that the books were stolen in West Bengal, and Srinivas stayed there, sending the two boys, the two junior boys, Narottam and Shyamananda, onto their respective preaching places. At first, once the books were stolen, the Narottam and Shyamananda just decided, we'll just end our lives here. It's, you know, it's finished. We've failed in our mission. There was a reason why Srinivas was put in charge. He was a bit senior. I think it was about 10 years, 10, maybe 12 years older than the others. And he was like, no, wait a minute, we can do this. You know, we've all received these teachings from Jiva Goswami. We've understood them. I'll stay here and find the books. You go to your respective places, and you speak very nicely like this, you know. After Narottam then returned to his village, he found that the management, the running of the kingdom of Gettari, had been taken over by his cousin Santosh. Santosh was the son of Purushottam, and Krishnananda Dutt and Narayani were very, very elderly, very, very old. And when he arrived, Mother Narayani was just, you know, she hadn't seen Narottam since he ran away. And this was when he was a young boy, and now he's come back, you know, this great, respected, and well versed sadhu. And she was just, you know, there'd been news come from different travelers to Vrindavan about him, but they hadn't actually seen him. And Narayani was just so, it was such an emotional moment for her. And Krishnananda, you know, I mean, they received him with such great love and affection, but he was, you know, polite, but a little bit distant. You know, he was a big sadhu. He wasn't, you know, no big huggy, kissy, mom and dad, oh, good to see you kind of thing, you know, respectful, but. So Mother Narayani said, at least here, come, you can stay in your room here. He said, no. He said, I will stay outside the palace walls. I'll just stay. No, 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 please not. Krishnananda said, Mother, he is a sadhu now. He's not going to live in our palace. I'll arrange for something. So he arranged a bhajan kutir just outside the town. If you please go to photo 10. Yeah. This is the site where these trees are, where they built, where his father Krishnananda built the bhajan kutir, just outside the proper city limits, if you will, of Gettari. And then 11 also after that. Just the next picture. Yeah. And this is the one of the last, one of the remaining trees at that place. And 12 also. This is the next one. Next, yeah, this is the sitting place where Narottam had his bhajan kutir and would perform his devotional activities within the proximity of his mother and father, but on his own like this. So, you know, in this way, he very happily stayed there for some time and preached the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, converting many people to the process of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, initiating many disciples. After some long period of time, Narottam received a letter from Vrindavan by way of messenger. And since he had left Vrindavan, there had been very little news from Vrindavan. It was like a past life in his mind. But now this message arrived, and it was not only from Vrindavan, but it was from his own spiritual master, Lokanath Goswami. And Lokanath had encouraged him about the importance of engaging people in worshiping the deity. This is another aspect of the, as far as a perfect Brahmana householder, it must be the worship of the deity. Prabhupada said many times, if a householder does not have the deity in their home, the home becomes a place of sense gratification. But by having the deity in the home, everything becomes used for the deity. Everything becomes, first the deity receives all the bhoga, first the deity receives attention. You know, like that, the deity has a prominent spot in the home. You know, so in this way, the house becomes centered around the deity. So he said to him, you should open a temple there in Gettari. Well, Narottam received this news with great joy because he and his cousin Santosh had been discussing this. And Santosh had encouraged him that I've wanted to establish a temple and there are deities that I want to have installed here. You know, so this was all arranged. Now, Narottam had seen different devotees worshiping deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he also wanted to do like this. And in addition to the deities of Santosh had, he arranged for there to be a carving of a deity of Mahaprabhu. You could go, please, to picture number 7. And then after this, picture number 8, the next picture. Now, every time he went to check on the work of the Silpa, the deity carver, he looked at the, no, this just isn't quite right. No, try again. No, no, this just isn't quite right. So after 3 or 4 times of this, the deity carver was becoming a little frustrated. Mahaprabhu came to Narottam one night in a dream, and said to him, you're not going to have any success in trying to carve a deity of me. You keep trying, but it's not going to be successful because I am already waiting for you in a deity form. There in the next village over, there's a Brahmana businessman, a Brahmana grain merchant. His name's Vipra, and he has a large granary there, and my deity is waiting for you in that granary, so you can go there and get it. So the next morning, when Narottama woke, he asked the devotees, you know this Vipra Brahman? Oh, yeah, the next village over. So they went to find him, and they found Vipra, and they said, my dear sir, I'm Narottama. And, oh, yes, yes, I know very well who you are. Thank you for coming. I feel honored. What can I do to serve you? You have a granary here? Well, I have two granaries. I have the one I use, and then we have this one here, which is all locked up. No one goes in there. Oh, why not? Oh, it's full of snakes. I've written the stockpile of grains in there off as a loss. No one can go there. If anyone even walks near the path, all the snakes hiss very loudly. It's all filled with poisonous cobras, so no one goes there. Oh, okay, please show me that place. I need to go in there. No, 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 no. You can't go there. If you go in there, you'll die, and then the death of Asada will be on my head. They describe like that sometimes. It'll be on my head, you know. I was given one shalagram from one place in Vrindavan. The Pujari said it was at the birthplace of Yavat. The Pujari gave to me, and he said to me, you must worship every day or Radharani will come on my... Yeah, it's... and he said to me, Bajari said, if you do not worship every day, Radharani will come on my head. So this means that that karma will fall to them. So at any rate, the Brahmin said, no, no. And Narottama assured him, don't worry. There'll be no difficulty. So Narottama went and opened the door. And when he opened the door, all the snakes, they went off into the forest. They left. And Narottama went in and no one saw what was going on. Once Narottama went in, he saw just the little fingertips of Mahaprabhu sticking up from the piles of grain. He went over and dug him out, and he came out and carried. Next picture, please. And he brought out this beautiful deity here, Gurunga. So this was why Narottama's deity carver was not successful in his efforts. So they arranged for a huge, huge, big Mahotsava. And, everybody was very, very, very happy. And Narottama began to think in the process of this that... wouldn't it be wonderful if we could invite all of Mahaprabhu's existing associates as well as all the generations after to come and have a big festival at this inauguration? Said, you know, it's been several decades since Mahaprabhu had passed away, about 50 years. And he said, the birth anniversary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has not been celebrated as a major Vaishnava holiday. So why not take the opportunity of this deity installation to perform what we now know is the first Gaur Purnima Mahotsava, the first Gaur Purnima festival. So in this way, Narottama was very excited about this. He contacted Srinivasacharya, Shamananda. All the plans went into arrangements for this. As he was discussing this with Srinivas said to him, he said, how can such a festival as this be organized? You know, he said it was very enthusiastic for it, but he was a little skeptical. This was a major event. I mean, I've presided over many utsavas, but I know how difficult a task it can be. But something on the scale of what you're talking about, are you sure that you can manage this? You don't have any experience organizing something on this scale. You know, you're going to need some help. Narottama said, yes, it's true. I have no capacity to, organize this, but I have your help. And I have the help of my nephew, Santosh. And so, with your blessings and assistance, I'm sure this can actually take place. So, I've been waiting for your blessings and agreement to work with me on this before moving forward with it. And Srinivas said, of course, I'm completely willing to help. But how will it be possible to get all of Mahaprabhu's associates, those that are still living, and those that are generations after to come? Many of those older associates are in such a deep state of separation that they don't travel anywhere. They simply sit in their bhajan kutirs crying. And the residences, they're scattered all over the country, West Bengal, East Bengal, everywhere. And how will you manage to bring them all here? And How will you accommodate all of them and cook for them? He said, my father has trained me how to receive guests very nicely when I was a young boy, so that part we can do very easily. I will send men with invitations out all over the country to invite them. Now, invitations, such a small little word for what he did. Golden plates with handwritten invitation was there. For each associate, that particular associate's qualities were put into poetic form, glorifying them and then concluding with an invitation to the festival, and then sent out by Brahmin messengers, 1111. Mass email, okay, I'll just, please come to our festival, thank you very much, here you go, Hari Bol. Goes out to, 3,000 people on the internet, boom. This was not like that. This was not like that at all. He was very enthusiastic, and everybody was attracted to come to the festival. Everybody wanted to be there. All the great souls, and Janavamata came, Virabhadra, her son, the sons of Advaitacharya that were still alive, the brothers of Srinivasacharya, of course we know he had several brothers, Srido Chaitanya, these are just a few of the prominent dignitaries that came. The invitations were sent out to all of them, and so, everything was in place, and the sad part is that we have to finish here, because the class is supposed to end at this time, and I have to go to this other obligation I have as a householder of selling sinks and faucets, and we come at this point to describing the first Gaur Purnima festival. The next morning after everyone begins to arrive, the festivals are in order. Narottam is arranged for a kirtan at night. What do the devotees do when a festival's going on? There's a big kirtan always the night before everything starts. And so Srinivas spoke to Narottam the next day. He said, I could hardly sleep last night. He said, I lay awake thinking of all the arrangements we're making for the festival. And I prayed for the understanding of how to make this impossible task happen. Do you know what happened, Narottam? Narottam said, Srinivas, no, tell me what happened. He said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to me in a vision. And he pacified me and told me to be free of anxiety. He said, do not worry. This festival is my desire. I want this festival to happen. I want my associates to come together. There was a particular philosophical reason that Narottam wanted this festival to take place too. At that time, after the departure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some 50 years or so, different philosophical deviations had developed within the Gaudiya Sampradaya, different offshoots, different factions, if you will. Part of the purpose of this was not just to install deities, not just to have kirtan, but to establish firmly the actual Siddhanta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, based on the presence of his existing followers and on the writings of the Goswamis that they now had through all of these books that were sent from Vrindavan by Jiva Goswami. And Janavamata would be there, and she would establish these principles. So this was also a big part of this, It wasn't just Vaishnavas and Brahmanas and Sadhus that were invited, but, pundits and scholars, and, of course, there had to be performers and, all types of personalities like this. So in this way, this was the real purpose, that they wanted to accomplish all of this, by establishing this wonderful, wonderful festival. And, no matter where you stop in the pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur, it's not enough. There's, we can go on for hours. And of course, those of you that are fortunate to have Mother Sitala's book, The Life and Glories of Narottam Das Thakur, will see that this is this festival that is organized by Narottam is an entire long chapter. And the details of how the arrangements are made and the arrival of Janavamata when she arrives and is received by Srinivas and Narottam, it's just such a heart-melting exchange between them, and then introducing Janavamata to all the preparations and the description, and then that first night of kirtan, and how Janavamata looked at Narottam and infused his heart with prema so that he could lead this kirtan, and then how he started this new style of Garnahati kirtan, and just the ecstasy of it and how the entire Panchatattva manifested in the midst of this kirtan and everyone saw them. Most of the time when these past devotees would appear, one or two people would see. Everyone in the audience saw it. And then how Srinivas conducted the Abhishek ceremony and deep into the night, and then how Janavamata went the next day and personally oversaw all of the cooking and the arrangements for the different preparations and the distribution of the prasadam. She herself would not take prasadam until everyone, including Narottam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda, had all taken prasadam. All of these descriptions are all there in this wonderful book that Mother Sitala has so kindly blessed all of us with. So we'll finish there in these pastimes of Narottam. But we see that as much as this verse that we're looking at, I think I missed a couple of pictures on there, didn't I? Go back to the file, if you would. We'll just take a quick look at those before we go. And I think let me just look here. Yeah, number 15, if you would, please. Number 15. These are the personal Shilas of Narottam Das Thakur. He traveled with 8 Shilas, 4 Govardhans, 3 Shaladrams, and a Dwarka. This is one of each of them. Next slide, please. Another shot of them there. Their nice throne with the golden crown that the Govardhan wears. And the next shot. So this is a picture of Narottam there just to the side next to these deities. And then the next shot, please. This is Narottam, the typical picture we see of Narottam in his youth. This is the very common photo used on books and covers and pictures on the altar. Next photo, please. And another similar shot. Next photo now. This was given to me by... Prabir gave me this. And he comes from this village. And this is a picture of Narottam they have in the village there that's worshipped on the altar there. And next picture. And this, very nice picture of Narottam Das Thakur in his elder years. Oh, someone drew him with the beard? No, go to the final picture, please. This is the deity of that picture is made from. This is the deity of Narottam in his senior years, just before his departure. Bead bag in his hand and, you know, this long beard and matted hair like that. So, at any rate, these are some small, tiny drop into the ocean of pastimes of Narottam Das Thakur. Today being his appearance day, it's a very suitable time for us to converse about Narottam and to remember Narottam and pray for his blessings as the real hero of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur ki. Yeah.